Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Last week we introduced to you a new Open House series with a new Open House tour guide, Albert Haas, who's taking us through a series of conversations about the Lord's Prayer, the famous, well-known prayer from the Gospels, also known to many as the Our Father. Albert's book, Living the Lord's Prayer, teaches us how this prayer isn't just a series of words that Jesus wanted us to recite. It's actually a guide for how Jesus wanted us to live. Tonight we'll begin, after our introduction and overview last week, we'll begin by looking at the meaning of just the first two words, Our Father. Albert, welcome back to Open House.
Oh, it's great to be back, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Terrific. We'll start with the second of those two words, Albert, Father. The word used in the original text is Abba, and the fact that Jesus used that word in his prayer means a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Interestingly enough, that name of Jesus, Abba, was so important that even though it is the Aramaic word for father, when St. Paul is writing to the Greek-speaking Jews, he does not translate it. In Galatians, he keeps it exactly as it is, Abba. So early on within the early church, it was very important for the early Christians to know that as Jesus experienced God as Abba, so too they, by virtue of their baptism, they too shared in that sonship and were able to call God Abba. And of course, what I find interesting in terms of spiritual formation issues is that, in my opinion, Lee, I do a lot of spiritual direction, and I train people in the art of being spiritual directors. And as I always tell the people that I'm training, and as I tell people who come to me for spiritual direction, your image of God is the most important aspect of your spiritual life, because it's based upon your image of God that whether or not you're going to leapfrog to holiness or you're going to walk at a snail's pace. You know, I mentioned in the book this a story that really, really highlights the importance of someone's image of God. I attended a wake service about 5 years ago of a woman who was about 89 years old when she died. And this woman spent more than half her life living in fear of death and living in fear of God. And the reason why was because, as a teenager, she had committed a terrible sin that she thought God would never forgive her of. So she spent her entire life living in fear of death, living in fear of God. At the wake service, someone came up to me and said, which I thought was very telling, they said, "You know, Father, Irene would have been a different person if only she had had a different God. But the God she believed in carried a big stick and was hard as nails." And you know, Lee, it dawns on me, that woman Irene would have been a different person, but the way she imaged God really became an obstacle for her in her own spiritual life. And that's why I think when Jesus reveals to us this extraordinary image of God as Abba, this is saying something especially about God's unconditional love. And you know, let me tell you something. I'm 56 years old. And even at the age of 56, I find in my own life sometimes that I still sometimes want to kind of water down the unconditional part of God's love. You know, it's kind of like God loves me as long as I'm keeping the commandments. God loves me as long as I'm going to church. God loves me as long as I'm tithing. It's always like we want to put conditions on the love of Abba.
Yeah.
And the revelation of God as Abba is so important because it conveys this image of an unconditional love.
And when you look at other faiths, it would be unthinkable in those to imagine that we can have that father-son, father-daughter relationship with Almighty God, a personal God, a relational God, one that we can call effectively Dad.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it would be, I mean, let's face it, in many ways, Lee, you can say that Jesus is calling God Abba drove the first nail on Calvary. I mean, because it was shocking to the Jews. It was shocking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And yet, as one scripture scholar reminds us, you cannot understand anything that Jesus did in his ministry unless you know that God was Abba for him.
Yes.
Because everything about his life, everything about his ministry came out of that tremendous insight that God was Abba, a God of love, a God of compassion. And that's why we find Jesus eating with sinners. That's why we find Jesus hanging around people who Judaism would consider to be ritually impure. That's why we find Jesus reaching out to the marginalized people of his day. Because if God is Abba, this God of unconditional love, it basically catapulted him to accept other people. And it should do the same thing for us.
Although I must ask you this, when we talk of God as our Father, not everyone has had a good experience of their Father, so their image of God or where they begin can be different and difficult.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have a very good friend of mine who's an evangelical pastor. He's African-American. And he tells me that for him, and because of his own African-American culture, for him, the image that works better for him is to think of God as grandmother. Because in the African-American culture, the grandmother really is the symbol of love and compassion in the family. So I think that's an important point you make. But also be aware of the fact, Lee, you know, that no matter what we say of God, it's always inaccurate. God
yes.
is Father. That's absolutely
yeah.
true. But God is also not Father, because the English word Father, the Aramaic word Abba, stumbles in carrying the full weight
yes.
of the reality of God.
Yes. So if we see God as Father, and we still haven't got beyond one word of the Lord's Prayer, what kind of Father is God then, Albert?
God is a father of unconditional love. God is a father of unconditional compassion. And for me, to name God as Father all of a sudden means that I now have joined a family where everyone else who calls God Father becomes my brother and sister. And that's the critical piece on the first word of the Lord's Prayer, our. The very first word of the Lord's Prayer really carries the great, great insight and revelation of spiritual formation. And that is, we are all brothers and sisters to one another. And that's why, in the early church, for instance, the early Christians did two things that was unheard of. First of all, they addressed one another as brother and sister, even though they were not blood brothers and blood sisters. And as we see so often in the letters to Paul, as Paul reminds us, the early Christians did something that was only done with members of their own personal immediate blood family. And that is, they kissed one another on the lips. So that very first word, our, reminds us that if God truly is Abba, then somehow or another I have entered into a relationship with everyone else who calls God Father as well. We're all brothers and sisters to one another. And that really is a great illumination in the spiritual life, because there's so much cockamamie spirituality, you know, that suggests that Christians have to run away from the world, and Christians should be disengaged from the world. And yet when we say that God is our Father, it reminds us that Christian spirituality should drive me deeper into relationships. Christian spirituality should drive me deeper into the world in order to transform it. And yet there's always this temptation in Christianity to want to treat my neighbor as a distraction or as a potential temptation in my spiritual life. And yet what Jesus reminds us in the spiritual life is that we're in this together. You know, Christianity is a family affair. It's not something you can do alone.
So if that's our foundation and our foundational relationship, what's the character of our relationships going to be like when they're working well then?
As long as I am in touch and I'm in constant communication with God as Abba, that's going to spill out. And the way that I have experienced God's love, God's mercy, God's compassion, that then is going to spill out into my relationships with other people. And so in so many ways, Jesus' relationship with the Father, I now share in. And that challenges me now to treat other people in the exact same way that God has treated me. And that's why, for instance, later on in the Lord's Prayer, we're going to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against each other. So there's a reciprocality. What God has done for me, I now am challenged to do for you and for every other person I have encountered.
So remembering that we're dealing with a prayer, what can all of this teach us about the kind of things we pray for and our awareness of the world around us?
Oh, that comes right out of the first word, our, huh? That now we realize that Christianity is a family affair, and as the founder of my own religious community, Francis of Assisi, promoted way back in the 13th century, that has profound ramifications with the ecology, because now I am in relationship to all of creation. And so that's going to mean I need to pray not only for myself, I'm going to pray not only for my immediate family, but I need to look beyond to pray for the great needs of the world. Because again, we're in this together. And that includes things as practical as, you know, the environment, as practical as ecological concerns, because all of this now has become part of my family. As Francis of Assisi, you know, tells us, the sun, the moon, the water, the trees, all creation. So in so many ways, by calling God our Father, we are in effect reminding ourselves that we are all related. All creation is really this wonderful, intricate web of relationships that God has deliberately made and intentionally made for his own glory.
Yes. Albert, I'm interested that you make the point that our own sometimes painful experiences can actually soften our hearts and fuel our prayers for one another.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned in the book, at the age of 13, my father committed suicide. And Daddy's suicide has had a profound effect upon me. And one of the things that it has done for me is it really has softened my heart towards people who have been left behind by suicide in their own life. And yet we see this also in many 12-step programs, huh? That so oftentimes people who have been wounded become the healers for other people. And that's what compassion is all about, you know? And so when we say that we are members of a family, when we say the first word of the Lord's Prayer, that also means that I need to have a soft, compassionate heart towards other people. And that's why I state explicitly in the book, remember your suffering, because it can become the womb, the W-O-M-B, it can become the womb of your compassion. And that's a choice we make. Some people are destroyed by their suffering, and yet other people become these incredible people of great sensitivity. It's the way we choose how are we going to integrate the suffering that each one of us has experienced in life. How are we going to integrate that? And I like to suggest that if we integrate it in a right way, it will soften our hearts, it makes us people of compassion, and then we become living incarnations of the reality that God truly is our Father.
We've extracted a lot from two words so far tonight. Thank you.
I could go on, Lee.
Well, you will in the coming weeks. For now, thank you so much again, Albert. It's lovely to talk with you, and we look forward to joining
you. Wonderful to be here with your community.
Next week. Good on you. Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.